Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. I am really excited about this series this week. We're talking about the coming shift that will bring real revival to the church. And this shift is a shift from how we present the gospel, how we present Jesus. We no longer present Jesus as a means for self-fulfillment, but we present Jesus as the goal, as the end of all of life. Someone who is so majestic and great and mighty. He is worthy of our praise, our worship. Someone to whom we should give our complete life into his hands. He is the end. He is the goal, not me. He is the goal. And so this is the real gospel. Jesus called people to absolute commitments. He said things like, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find life. Well, you see, we haven't called upon people to lose their lives for Christ. No. We have preached a very self-centered, egocentric gospel, and it has resulted, as I've read the statistics, over the last 20-some-odd years, say 25, 26, 27 years, there has been a dramatic drop and the numbers of those who profess to be Christians in America. From the 1990s, when it was 86%, it has shrunk to 63%. And at the same time, those who identify by other religions, such as Hindus and Muslims, they have been growing in America. And those who identify as atheists and agnostics, they have been growing in America. Why is this? This should not be the case, because the Bible tells us that there is inherent gospel in the message that we preach. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Notice he said that the gospel itself, it is. He didn't say that it was a means or a channel for the power. No, he said the gospel itself is the power of God to salvation. In other words, the power of God is inherent in the gospel message. No wonder Satan wants to find ways to dilute and distort the true gospel of Christ and rob it of its power. My friends, I believe that that is the answer to what has happened in America and in Western civilization and no doubt in so many parts of the world. And so there must be a shift from the me-centered, ego-centered gospel to a Christ-centered gospel where he is the object, he is the goal, he is the end, and he is no longer presented as a means for me to get what I want in life. Oh, no, my friends. There's got to be the shift. You know, there's a great example of this in the Gospel of John in John chapter 6. Where John tells about the miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes and feeding a great multitude out in the wilderness, thousands of people out in the wilderness. Hey, no grocery stores, no McDonald's, no restaurants. And Jesus takes one young man's lunch and does a miracle. And with that one lunch, feeds this tremendous multitude. Now, after this miracle, the group that had seen the miracle crossed the Sea of Galilee looking for Jesus. But when they found him, he confronted them for seeking him for the wrong reason. He confronted them for seeking him as a means to their own comfort rather than for who he really is. Now, of course, this happened, as I said, after Jesus took one young lad's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and fed the great multitude. Now, the people, when they saw this miracle, they were elated. And you can read about this in John chapter 6. And they begin to talk about taking Jesus by force and making him their king. Wow. Because what a comfortable life he could make for them with this kind of power. But when Jesus saw their intention, he departed to a mountain to pray. And then later that night, he went out to his disciples who were in a boat crossing over to the other side. And he walked on the water and joined his disciples in their voyage to the other side of the sea, which was, you know, around 6 to 9 miles apart, according to where you were on the Sea of Galilee. Now, when they reached the other side, the crowd who had seen the miracle on the other side of the sea, they finally found him. And they inquired as to when and how he had arrived on this side of the sea. And this is when Jesus confronted them about their self-serving motives in seeking him. And he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, Jesus said, "You're not seeking me because you saw the signs." Now, in John's gospel, the miracles, he doesn't use the word miracle. He uses the word sign for the miracles that Jesus performs, because he's presenting them as signs which point to who Jesus is, that points to the fact that he is their long-awaited Messiah. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied about when he said in Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it's verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Yes. So many wonderful, wonderful promises of the coming Messiah. I think of Micah, who prophesied of Bethlehem, a small insignificant town, and said, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, even though you are least among the thousands of Israel, yet out of you will come the one who will be ruler in Israel." Ah. And now John presents these signs. These signs point to the fact, hey, here is the one you've been looking for. And Jesus says to them, he challenges their motives. He says, "You're not seeking me because you saw the signs and recognized who I am. You're seeking me because you ate the loaves and filled your stomachs and filled your bellies with food and were satisfied. That's why you're seeking me, for what you think you can get out of me, because you think that I will make your lives comfortable. You're seeking me as a means for your own self-gratification and fulfillment." Wow. Is that not where so much of the church is today? Is that not where we're presenting the gospel today? You know, Charles Finney, he understood this obviously very clearly, the great 19th century revivalist. In his book, Lectures on Revival, Charles Finney tells how he received numerous requests to come to certain churches and communities to promote a revival. However, upon investigation, he discovered that many want a revival for all the wrong reasons. For self-centered reasons, to advance their own personal causes and desires and issues. Some wanted revival in order to raise their social status and influence in their community. They wanted to be more important. Others wanted revival to increase the numbers attending their meetings, which in turn would mean bigger offerings and enable them to build a new and larger buildings. Still others wanted revival so that they would feel superior to one or more congregations and their city with whom they felt a sense of competition. All were seeking revival from self-centered motives. They wanted to use revival for self-promotion and personal advancement, and Finney rightfully refused their request. Listen, here's his direct quote. He said, "When I came to weigh their reasons, I have sometimes found every one of them to be selfish, and God would look upon every one with abhorrence." Wow. Is it possible God would abhor someone's desire for revival, according to Finney, if they were desiring revival for their own self-centered, selfish reasons? Yes, God would look upon their request for revival with abhorrence, and he refused. He would turn down and refuse their invitations. Ah, it is time that we make a shift in American Christianity, in Canadian Christianity, and I'll bet also in other nations who are listening. We've got to shift from this me-centered, egocentric gospel that is centered in me and what I can get out of God and what I can get out of Jesus to Jesus as the Messiah, as Almighty God, as the chosen one of God, the one for whom we are called to give up our lives for his sake and the gospel. And my friends, when we have this shift from the me-centered gospel that has been preached throughout America and around the world to a truly Christ-centered gospel, we're going to see something happen. We're going to see power. We're going to see signs and wonders, but no longer centered in an evangelist or ministry, but centered in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You'll find some resources there that will help you, that will stir your faith and lift you up. You'll find some articles there that are along the lines that we are talking about today. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And that is Eddie Hyatt, my name, eddiehyatt.com. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. God bless.